Well, I have the privilege this morning to begin a new series for the month of June, and it is entitled Salt and Light. And I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, probably a pretty familiar scripture to us all, and particularly as it relates to salt and light. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Jesus speaking, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We are living in a unique season as a nation, as a region, as a city. We're living in a unique nation as the world, as the globe, and there probably has never been a time where there's any more need than there is now for you and I to be salt and light. I do want to notice that Jesus doesn't say, try to be, he says you are. He doesn't say work at being or you someday will be. No, you are. You are salt and you are light. And I think, and we're going to talk some about that, and I want to address some myths of what that is and what that isn't. And I know right about now there are some who are feeling, well, that means I've got to do. And I want to confront that right at the start. This isn't about asking you to do more. It's asking you to be more of yourself. And we'll be talking more about that. Jesus mentions that if salt loses its flavor, I did some research and I found out this. Salt cannot lose its flavor. True salt lasts forever. You might have salt in your cupboard and you say, well, I don't know, there's an expiration date on it. I want to suggest if it does, it's because it has additives added to it. It's iodized or it's treated in some way. The only thing that can cause salt to lose its flavor is if it's infected by the environment around it or additives that are added to it. I want to suggest that you and I, as salt, the salt of the earth, we have something to offer, and it isn't something that comes in and of ourselves. It comes from God, but nevertheless, we are salt. We're not trying to be. We are. In the time and in the season, in the days when Jesus spoke this, salt was used for primarily three things. It was to bring flavor, it was to preserve, and it was to cleanse. And I want to suggest that you and I, as believers in this world, bring saltiness. And in some cases, it adds flavor. Some of you are very, very flavorful. Some of you are very salty. But it also brings a cleansing, and it brings a preserving. Alan Ross taught us very early on, and for those of you who may not know, Alan is a prophetic voice in this house that is from Scotland. And he taught us very early on that in the Old Testament, the voice to the nations was the prophet. And there would be a prophet that would rise up and it would speak to the nation. And he taught us very early on that the voice of the nation under the New Testament is not just one man, but rather it is the church. And I want to read a quote to you that I came across on Facebook that was made. Someone posted it. Might have been one of you. But I thought it was very good, especially as it relates to the season that we're living in, and especially as it relates to realizing that we as the church are salt. And the quote is this, The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state, but never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without any moral or spiritual authority. It's important for us to understand that as a corporate people, and I'm speaking concerning the church, that we are salt to the nation and to our communities, but we must be used wisdom in how we are salt. We are salt to one another. We're salt. We need to realize that we are salt to the body of Christ. You are salt to one another. Pastor Dave is not with us here this morning because he is being salt and light with a group of guys up in northern Minnesota, up on the, what's it called? Boundary Waters. Thank you. I should know that. Up on the Boundary Waters. And they're being salt and light to one another. They're encouraging one another. They're strengthening one another. They're adding flavor. I can guarantee you some of those young men are adding flavor to Pastor Dave. You know it's true. And they're having fun, but they're having fun in the Lord. And they are enjoying His creation. We need to realize that we are salt and light to one another within the body of Christ, and we're salt and light to those around us. Let's talk about light. Jesus said that you are the light of the world, not trying to be, you are. In John chapter 1, it said that He was life and in Him was light. You may remember in your reading of John chapter 8, the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees and the crowd brings to Him a woman caught in adultery. And you know, this gospel tells us that He knelt down and wrote on the ground, and people want to know what He wrote, and I don't think it matters. I don't think it was anything about that. I think He knelt to make sure that if they stoned her, they'd hit Him. He was prophetically doing what He was going to do for all mankind eventually, and that is stand in their stead, in their place, and stand with you and I. But He confronts them, and He shines light on the situation. He doesn't accuse or excuse her sin. He just shines light a little bit broader and a little bit bigger and shines it on the whole crowd and says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. The truth is, they knew who should throw the first stone. Whoever caught her. But in that context, and I want to read it to you, he ends up saying, once he says to the lady, where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone. The scripture tells us that they left one by one. Just at the confrontation of him shining a little light on the situation and causing them to see, yes, she's a sinner, but so are you. And then he ends up saying this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You and I are the light of the world, but we must recognize where we get it. We are a reflection of Him. As He is in the world, so are we. We represent Him. We're His ambassadors. We are light. And He is the source. You might be going about your day, and here's what I want. I want you to know that I know that you are salt and light. I want you to know that I know that you are being salt and light in this season. I want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you to consider using your home to be salt and light. To be very honest, one of the concerns that we've had as leaders is in reopening the church, we don't want to lose the awareness and the fact that your church or your home is the church. Yeah. And you are salt and you are light and you are a lighthouse in your neighborhood. We want to, as you well know, the church is opening up more and more. We want to encourage you to consider opening your home to your neighbors, to watch the service, to just be life to them, to be salt to them, to be light to them. And so many of you may be finding, and you may find of truth that Jesus Christ found. The scripture tells us that the light shines in darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger if you have been letting your light shine and it goes unnoticed and undepreciated. Recognize that he had the same challenge you do. Nonetheless, he let his light shine. As I said earlier, the danger in a message like this is we immediately begin to hear, oh, okay, I've got to do more. And that is not the heart of this message at all. I want to suggest to you, you are the salt and you are the light. It does not matter whether we read in Romans chapter 12 concerning what is sometimes called the motivational gifts, or whether we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we read about the spiritual gifts, or whether we read in Ephesians chapter 4, where we read about the fivefold gifts, they all have one thing in common, and that is they are given by God, by the grace of God. As you listen to this message this morning, I want to ask you a question. What grace is on your life? Don't try to be salt in a way that isn't, you're not equipped to be salt. Don't try to be light in a way that you are not equipped to be light. So many times we look at others and we admire what they do and how they do things and we say, I want to be like that. Well, be wise. Do you have that grace? Or do you have a different measure of grace? I do know this, you have a grace to be salt and light. You have a grace to be salt to one another in your households and in the body of Christ. You have a grace to be salt and light to your neighbors. You have a grace to be salt and light in the spheres in which you live. The truth is that many times we get frustrated in our efforts to be salt and light because we are not functioning in our grace. We're functioning in someone else's. And here's the deal. When you are in your grace gift, it is so easy you feel like it can't possibly be right. When you're in your grace gift, it flows and you flow so easily in it that you sometimes can feel like this cannot be fruitful. This can't be possible. This can't be God because it's just too easy. And can I say to you that it's easy because it's not you, it's the grace of God, and that you could say, like the Apostle Paul could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Recognize the grace that's on you. Recognize the things that come easy to you. Recognize the sweet spot in which you're flowing and you are being salt and light. And do not minimize it. Do not say, well, this so-and-so is a much brighter light. I don't care. What are you called to do? What are you called to be? Be the salt in the place that you're planted. Be the light in the place that you're planted. And do it under the umbrella of grace that you're given. And recognize that that obedience is far greater than sacrifice. And sometimes we want to do so much for God. And I understand it comes out of a heart of love. And it comes out of a heart of being a servant. But do not miss coming into an understanding of where is the grace on your life. Do that and do it well. Sometimes we feel like we have to expand our horizons and get good at one thing and then do another. And that's fine if the Holy Spirit is leading you. They that are led of the Spirit, these are the children of God. But don't be led by pressure. Don't be led by comparing yourself among yourselves. Find your sweet spot. Find that place where you are salt and you are light and it comes to you easy, and then be that. The truth is that if you don't step into your place, no one else will. There is a role that God has for you to play. We tend to say, well, this is big and this is small, this is important, this is not. And the only thing that is important is obedience to God. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves, especially in this whole arena, in this whole thing of being salt and light. You and I must be able to say at the end of the day with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. I've learned this. We can do a lot of things that are outside the scope of our grace gift, and they're not nearly as fruitful as those things that we're called to do. We can make all kinds of sacrifices, and at the end of the day, we haven't been obedient to what He's called us to do. Here's how you know I believe. Here's how you know when you're functioning in your grace gift. People see your good works, we just read it, and they glorify your God in heaven, your Father in heaven. When you functioning in your grace gift and flowing and being salt and light, it'll bring a glory to God, not to you. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we want to be more than we're called to be. In fact, in Romans, the Apostle Paul says, speaking about gifts, he says, let no one think of himself more highly than he ought, but according to the grace that he's been given. And sometimes we want to be, I'm going to say this, very straight. Sometimes we want to be more important than our grace gift seems to make us, and we recognize that it's not about us getting glory, it's about God getting glory. For several years, I had the privilege of traveling to many Bible training schools with Concion and Marcos Witt, had ministry in many South and Central American countries for worship, where they were raising up worship leaders in Spanish-speaking nations, literally all over the world. Any place there were Spanish speakers, they wanted to put a school. And one of the things I would challenge the kids with when I was there, and it's good, it doesn't matter whether what we're talking about, it's good to answer this question. Do we want to become famous, or do we want to make Jesus famous? When you and I flow in our grace gift, more than anything else, it should put a spotlight on how awesome God is. It should cause people to glorify our Father in heaven. What is the grace that rests on you as an individual? As a married couple, what is the grace that rests upon you? As a family, as a household, it's good to consider, what is the grace that is upon you as a family? What do you do well? For some of you, it's as simple as opening your home, and you love it. Do that, and recognize how significant it is. Recognize how important it is. Recognize you're about your Father's business, doing what you love to do, doing what you're good at. That doesn't mean that we don't grow, but we grow to be a better version of ourselves. We don't grow to be a better version of someone else. So I encourage you, be salt and light. I want to give you a little bit of a warning. It's important that we understand that whether it was Jesus or the Apostle Paul or other teachers of the Word of God, there were very often used analogies like this to describe spiritual realities. And in this whole principle of salt, we can understand it in the natural, and so it is in the spirit. My wife is a very, very, very good cook. And she just adds spices. She loves to add garlic. She loves to add a certain seasoning, whether it's an Italian dish or a Tex-Mex dish or whatever it is. It's just good. But I can promise you this. I can ruin it with too much salt. And it doesn't take much. I know something about some of you that attend this church. I won't name names, but you like popcorn. No, I mean you really, really, really like popcorn. And I can guarantee you that I can ruin your popcorn with salt. And you could say, well, oh no, I put salt on my popcorn all the time. Oh good, let me put it on. Too much salt is not good. Let me read to you. Don't turn there, just listen. I'm not even going to tell you where it is. No, it's in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Can I encourage you to be very wise with how salty you are? May I encourage you that you can be more salty, perhaps, with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ than you kin with your neighbors who are not yet believers. We need to be very wise. And the reason we need to be very wise is because we are salt. We need to be very wise with how we are light. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And then he says this, rightly dividing the word of truth. And some would say, truth is truth. You just put it out there. No, you don't. Truth needs to be rightly divided, or it does more damage than it does good. As surely as we can use too much popcorn and destroy something, we can use too much light. I have a light here. And too much light is not good. And it distorts the very thing that you're trying to help people see and understand. Henry told me that if this bright light destroyed that camera, it's mine. And you say, well, that's just a silly demonstration. No, that's a spiritual truth. Both too much salt and too much light, if not used wisely and used properly, will do more damage than good. And that is a spiritual reality. I'm going to meddle just a little bit. Some try to be salt and light in social media, and it's not always wise. I want to encourage you to consider asking a question before you post something or send something out, and that is this: does this represent the life and the heart of Jesus? Is this too much salt for this given situation and this given medium? Is this too much light for this given? I'm not calling into question the quality of the light or the quality of the salt. I'm calling into question the amount that's used in a place where it may do more damage than good. You and I must be very wise. There is a scripture that has been constantly ringing in my ear, and it has somewhat to do with the season of my life I'm in, but I think it has to do with the season that all of us are in, and it is just simply this: they that are led of the Spirit, these are the children of God. What is the Spirit leading you to do? Do that. Take time to seek Him and to ask Him, particularly as it relates to becoming salt and light. I want to leave you again with a question I asked earlier. Where is the grace of God on you as it relates to being salt and light? As a couple, where is the grace of God on the two of you together as it relates to being salt and light? As a family, as a household, where is the grace of God upon you to be salt and light? It's good to process that. I encourage you couples to discuss that. You're a team. I encourage you as families, I encourage you parents to pull your kids together and just have a family meeting. Okay, how can we be and how are we salt and light? What are we good at as a family? What comes natural to us? What is easy for us? Don't be surprised if you find that in the process of being salt and light, you have fun and know it's okay. But understand this, that as you give yourself to that, people are watching, and they will see your good works, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. There's probably, as I said earlier, this is a prime time to recognize that we are salt and light. And this is a prime time to consider how we best can be the most fruitful for the kingdom. To one another as brothers and sisters, yes, but outside the church walls and outside the church family. I love you. And I know that you have the grace on your life to be salt and light in some very innovative and awesome ways. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give us to represent you, to be ambassadors for you, to represent your love, your peace, your joy in the most simple ways. And we ask you as your children to lead us and guide us on ways that we ought to be salt and light. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. you, Lord.